Hello, everyone. My name is Joshua Weyen. I'm your host of the Book of the Month Club call. This is a prelude to our conference call tonight. We have a great panel member that will be reviewing the book for this month. And we also want to just let you know that we have cut out some great conversation that we have put at the end of this call. So take a listen to that. We did this to save you time so you can get right into the call. By the way, we'd like to encourage you to grab a pen and notebook, take copious notes, because the information that you'll be writing down will help you very much in your business now and in the future. Just want to welcome everybody to our monthly Book of the Month Club call. We appreciate very much all of those that have joined us tonight for this call. We have been reading the book this month by Hilton Johnson, who is an MLM sales coach. He's a very, very knowledgeable, a great coach, a great trainer in his field, and what a great contribution he has brought into our industry. He put together top 10 lists of different aspects of our business, from prospecting to presenting to marketing by attraction. So this evening we're going to be reviewing this book. Before we jump right into our review, what I'd like to do is to announce the book for next month. The book for next month is The Parable of the Pipeline by Burke Hedges. Parable of the Pipeline, as the last word shows, is really building your network marketing business by keeping your funnel full, so to say, keeping your pipeline full. And how do you do that? How do you go about your network marketing business so that you don't run dry of prospects, you don't run dry in your recruiting and training process, you don't run dry in your customer list or pipeline? But this book really goes and delves into all of that. Dream Builders have reviewed this book. They highly recommend this book, and I'm glad that we put heads together in talking with Dream Builders the past several months. It's one of the ones that we've chosen to bring to you to help build your business as we continue the theme this summer about recruiting, about sponsoring, and about also keeping your business flowing in the right direction, of course, to success. This evening I have with me my panel, consists of Elvira Scudall from Jacksonville, Oregon. Welcome to the call, Elvira.
Thank you.
And I have Tony Stafford, who's our recording engineer, from San Jose, California. Welcome, Tony.
I'm here. Thank you for that introduction.
And Anne Balridge, who is out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Anne, thank you very much for being on the call.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Great. And, of course, yours truly, Joshua Weyer, from small town USA, North Wales, Pennsylvania. Glad to be on the call with all of you tonight. So let's talk about what we've learned from this book, and just some snapshots of the book this month. I'm looking through some of the notes that I've taken about meetings, how to set up your business meeting, how to change the language that you use in this business. On page 10 to page 11, talks about the language that you should employ in your business. Mr. Hilton talks about the three most important things that you want to do in your business on page 15. The objective of inbound calls, he talks about the BQQ, which we'll be talking about tonight, the basic qualifying questions. He talks about making sure your prospects, they give you a commitment before you move forward in your presentation, and in fact how to get them to commit to being part of your business if they qualify. He talked about asking exploratory questions or problem questions, sizing up your prospects, the questions that you should ask when you're recruiting, the third-party calls on page 99 and 100, how to recruit accomplished network marketers. My, oh, my, this was one that I really liked and I'm going to use because I've shied away from recruiting
those that are already accomplished in the network marketing business, but he actually taught us how to go about doing that. So what I'll do is go from one panel member to the other and just ask this question. Let's start with Ann Balridge. Ann, out in Pittsburgh, I'd like to ask you this month when you were reading through the Hilton Johnson collection, what is it that stood out for you this time that you are already using in your business or something that you plan to use in the future in your business with what you read from this book? And please feel free to pinpoint some pages and chapters and some of the top 10 lists recommended by Mr. Hilton. Go ahead, Dan.
I liked what he had to say about the terminology that you use. So often we use terminology that means something to us but scares our friends and our contacts away. And part of that, if you just even going back to the very beginning of the book, he talks about the opportunity. It may be an opportunity for us, but is it an opportunity for them? Maybe that's the kind of word that we're using that scares people away. And I like what he said in the towards page 10, I'm involved in a fantastic business opportunity that has changed my life. I'm expanding the business and looking for a few key people who want to get rich. You'd be perfect for this, and what I'd like to do is invite you to a meeting to meet some awesome people. So he's not saying, that this is good for you. I'd just like you to come and meet some people who have found this to be something. So it's a good way to open up to people an opportunity to find something that's good for them, but without saying right away, this is a golden opportunity for you, because it might not be. But if they meet people who have found it to be so, they might pick up on it.
Excellent. I like that. Thank you very much. And he really helps us to improve on that, and I like the way that he helped us to improve on that approach on the next page where he said, I'm working on interesting business project, and I need an associate that can meet some business requirements. This may or may not be something that you will be interested in or even fit into. My question is, would you be receptive to looking at an attractive business venture outside of what you're doing right now? And I wrote here, I love it, with 3 exclamation marks. This is the new way that we're being taught now to approach people. Like you said, and it may not be a golden opportunity for them because they don't know what this is all about.
That's right.
Yeah, until they come to take a look at the business venture that we have for them. In fact, that's the one that I'm using more and more now, rather than saying opportunity. Business venture, as he recommends on page 6. So that's very good. And we will come back to you and ask you how you plan on using some of this information in the future. And, of course, some of the other pages, some of the information you've read, and some of the other chapters, we'd like to hear some of them. We'll come back to you. Let's go to Alvera Scudall in Jacksonville, Oregon. Hi, Alvera.
Hello, Joshua.
Again, the same question for you. As you read through this book, I know you're a professional network marketer, and you've done a lot of personal development over the years. You read a lot of books. You listen to a lot of tapes. Now, in comparison to what you've known already, that you're using already, what would you say with what you read in Hilton Johnson's book here that you are going to use a little bit differently or improve on what you know already?
Well, Joshua, if it comes to phone calls, things like that, that's probably one of the biggest things that I am not good at. Some of the different articles and ideas that were in this book are the worst things you can say, the 10 surefire ways to set and achieve goals. There's marketing ideas, myths about selling, recruiting with strong posture, et cetera, et cetera. But he mentions in here how one prospecting call a day will give you success that you seek. And in our business, it really is something that a little bit every day will make the project over a period of time. I mean, one call a day would be 365 a year. And I guess part of that comes back to my upbringing. in Montana, we never got a chance to use the phone. So when I see the younger generation today where everybody has a cell phone, everybody's on the phone all the time, that's probably the one thing, if there's anything that's going to push me further in my business, it's going to be making phone calls to people. There's just something about it. What can I say?
Thank you very much for hitting on that. In fact, if everyone on the panel can kind of turn to that particular chapter, because that is a very, very powerful chapter on recruiting with a strong posture on page 60. It begins from there. Maybe we can just go around the table here on the panel, rather, and highlight some of the things that Mr. Johnson highlights here. I really like the one about selective sponsoring. 1,000 frontline distributors who never do anything. Really, when you think about it, it's zeros on your check. In fact, you don't get a check because it's zero if they're not doing anything. But what about 10 distributors that are building a large organization without your day-to-day involvement? That's what we should be focusing on, not sponsoring people that are not going to do anything, but really leaders. Approach leaders, not losers. You don't want people that will have to constantly call you to motivate them. You can't afford to babysit anybody in this business. Unmotivated, unorganized, irrational, unqualified, lazy people that expect you or the company's system to do everything for them. Tony and I were talking about this a few days ago. We are in a business where we can train people to help themselves. Of self-helpers now, and our business is just designed that way. Now, is there anything in that chapter that resonates with any one of you? This is open to any one of you.
Well, you just got past the point where I had gotten. I had just finished before that chapter, so I don't have a lot to say. Although, I mean, I'm just quickly glancing through it. I find that you know, everything about the book I like about the fact that he steps the training up as you go through the book. In other words, each chapter is more powerful in its message makes you want to get to the next chapter.
Excellent. I like the fact that number 7, meeting a requirement. We want to make sure that when we are inviting people to join our business, like you said in the previous part, make them jump through some hoops a little bit. And let them prove to you that they are serious. So when you're prospecting, you want to be in control. In other words, you have to have the proper posture. You're not begging the people to join your business. Probe for pain. Probe for what is really critical in your life, where it hurts in their life currently, either their job, their financial life, their future, their family. Where is it that it hurts right now? Emera, commit to you by answering a proper basic qualifying question. That's pretty good. Let's now with that, let me transition to you, Tony. You've done some intense reading in the book, and I'd like to ask you the same question, Tony. Again, you are a very knowledgeable network marketer. You are building a fast-growing organization within DWG, and you've done a number of things through personal development. I know that you are an exponent of that. Now, from what you read in this book, the Hilton Johnson Collection, Tony, what would you say resonates with you from what you've read so far?
Well, there's a lot of stuff in the book, and I can see that I'm going to need to read this many times because it is such a compact book of information that to retain it, you've got to read it, to me anyhow, a number of times. But what I was really fascinated with is that he got me to buy into the book in the very first chapter. The topic that he talked about was the language that we use, and And as you know, the world is changing, and the language that we use in conversation continuously changes. I mean, think back at 20 years for us that are old enough, and think about some of the words we used 20 years ago, and put them in today's context, and they don't work. They mean something different. They might mean something derogatory. Where something derogatory in the past means something pleasant today. And he attacks some of the words that we use. In some cases, they were just. Some of them were words a few years ago that were good words, and today they may not be. And so, and I bought into the book by just his first stuff. It hit right at home, and then I like the fact that he says what it is that you need to learn there, and then he gives you a good demonstration of it, and then in that first chapter he does it very well by tying all of the bad words or the words that are not working very well these days with all the good ones in a paragraph that explains everything perfectly.
And thank you very much. There's something too that I was taking a look at here, which I highlighted. On page 13, which is the chapter on the top 10 ideas for setting and achieving goals, he gave the story of Tom Watson, the founder of IBM. And Tony, you are from the computer industry, many years in that field. Can you highlight that story there? And maybe there's something that in your experience with the computer industry really ties in with that story there on page 13. Number two, top 10 ideas begin with the end in mind.
Yeah, because my background is Xerox, but you know. I have actually, I picked that up from Stephen Covey. And it's quoted a number of times, but the fact of the matter is that it's absolutely true. The successful people, when they dream, they have a great dream about what the end would look like, and they can even tell you what kind of people will be sitting around them at a table or at an event or whatever it is that they're planning, what this concept, where they're going with this idea years out there will look like. So begin with the end in mind and then work your way back. And it's been said many times that if you don't know where you're going to end up somewhere you don't want to be. And people that begin with the end in mind know where they're going, and therefore they just have to build the proper path to get there.
Excellent. Absolutely. It was so interesting that Tom Watson, he created a clear image in his mind what he wanted his company to look like, just like you're saying, creating a goal and then working backwards. And, of course, he talked about day-to-day basis, acting exactly what he wants the company to become. And look at IBM over the years, what they've become. It all came from beginning with the end in mind. And I really like that story, even though it's short, but it's a good one. And, of course, how do we apply that into our prospecting? The story, the information on page number 14, the fifth concept there about creating your storyboard is a good one. I'd like to have Elvira Scrutall, you're very good at this, and I'd just like to come to you to help us highlight that point there about creating your own storyboard. Could you highlight some of the point there that, in fact, we can use in our recruiting and training new distributors?
We've got facts going on here, huh? Well, I don't have my book here in front of me, Joshua, so if you were asking me to read some information off, my apologies. I'm not going to be able to do that. But I can highlight some of the things that I think are important in the storyboard following what's going on there. Number one, in any kind of business, it's important, well, that you believe in the business, for starters, that you understand the business at least to some degree. And as time goes on, we progress further and we develop, hopefully, personally in it. But to develop one's own story takes a new form when it becomes something that they own. And by doing that, regardless of what the business is, if people can relate to their product or service in how it's helped them, they can in turn help their prospects to see the benefits for them and for other prospects that they may have down the line and everything like that. So that's kind of the way I would put some of the information that's in there. And as far as that's concerned, you got to believe in what you're doing. And if not, it comes through so much. And when it comes to a new distributor, it's great to encourage them and show them how to believe in what's going on, because not everybody can actually see a benefit. And when it comes to some of the prospects and kind of tying into the goal setting thing, some of the things to ask are what's holding you back from achieving the goals that they set for themselves. And if they can see how something works for someone else but can't see it for themselves, the goals may be part of the problem. They may not have a desire to get and go any further on it. And to let them know or share with them different ways that you feel and actually have them see how the business can benefit not only them but their family and others as well, especially when it comes to working from home and being home with the children if they have small children and everything.
Something they can do along that same line is to make a dream book, something where they can have a picture of what they really want to achieve and what they want to go after. It's something they can look at and say, this is what I want, this is what I'm going for, this is what I want to achieve. And it can be pictures of anything that means something to them and help them get to there because they're looking at it on a regular basis.
It becomes a vision. It becomes reality in front of them, yes.
Right.
Excellent. You both hit it right on the head. That's exactly what Hilton Johnson highlights there in that section. We can, in fact, tie that into what we're doing currently at DWG. Next year is there a big vacation in Mexico. Those of us who are in Jamaica, we know that we don't want to miss Mexico next year. As a matter of fact, what we've done, which ties in with the recommendation here, creating your storyboard, we have gone out. In fact, I've gone out with some of my new distributors to bookstores. We looked at pictures of Puerto Vallarta in Mexico, cut out pictures. I'm going to be creating more and more storyboard, a visualization that really fires me up every day to get up and do this business and take it to the next level. And the same thing happening for my leaders. So thanks again, both of you, for highlighting that. Now, in the book this month, one of the things that I also got out of it is about asking questions, asking the right questions. And, Tony, I'm going to come to you. You're very good at that, too, about asking questions and asking more than just surface questions, but these deep questions. With regards to that, using the BQQ, that's a new phrase that I learned from this book, which stands for basic qualifying questions. In our prospecting, questions is recommended that we should ask, and you can jump around in the book if you want.
The qualifying questions, I found after I read this book that I probably wasn't asking as good a qualifying questions as I thought I was. And this book is really good at hitting home where a number of things that we are probably need to make self-improvement in. And that's why I'm looking
at it. It's okay. It's just a dry wash and guard call.
Okay. one of the things that, the top 10 for components of inbound calls I was looking at, one of the things that got me was gratitrol, which is a combination of gratitude and control of the call. I thought that was very ingenious in its concept of getting control of the call, even though they think the person you may have on the other line think they got control, but you got control by just using a few good words by being welcoming and agreeing, thanking them for thanks for the call, and I'm happy to provide you with information. Another way of saying it, you kind of disarm them, but it also makes you almost into a friendship call.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And kind of tying in with that, too, and when we have the guest prospect in front of us, we want to ask question, for instance, what was it that you like the ad that you saw? What is it that attracted you to this business opportunity? But right from that moment, or what is it that you like about the brochure that I gave you? What is it that you like about the information, the cassette that I gave you, or the CD-ROM that I gave you? Of those kind of questions, or combination questions, Mr. Johnson calls them the attraction. And when we ask that question, of course, we want to listen very carefully, and their response will help us to see which direction we should go in our presentation. I really like that. So I'm going to be using that a lot more in my business. I'd like to go around the one more time and ask, the information that you read so far in this book, how are you going to use this information? Or perhaps I should ask, how are you using it currently in your business? And how do you plan to use this information in the future in your business? Let me go to Ann Bullrich. Ann?
Well, part of what's in here that I have not been using as successfully as I know I should are some of the questions that really delve into why a person wants to be in the business, why they should be somebody we would want to talk to be a good distributor for us. And if you're looking at page 70 in the book, he gives you some questions that you need to talk with people about. Are you satisfied with your present level of income? How do you feel about the amount of time you get to spend with your family? Do you ever worry about being downsized or laid off from your job? Those are three important questions, and they do part of the term form that we use to decide if somebody's good for the business or not. And it's something we need to be more consistent in asking people. We don't have to ask those exact questions. We can do something else. Ask them, you know, what they're concerned about, what do they do for a living, what kind of a job do you have right now? You have these kind of benefits. What do you get out of your job? Let them tell you things. So you can delve more closely into what they're doing. Spend more time on getting them looked at more closely as what they're going to be the kind of person that would really want the job, would really work to get it, to do something with it if they get it. To ask the right kind of questions to get people on board with us. And I don't think we're all doing that. And I know I'm not doing it enough. But I think that's something that's important that we have to do.
Thank you very much, Anne. Appreciate that. Yes, that, I really, really like that. In fact, I put about 5 hours on that page, and I wrote on that page to always do this. In fact, sometimes before the demonstration, you can ask these three important questions and then tie that in as you do your demonstration, some of those questions, how our opportunity answers those concerns for our prospects.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We'll come back to you in a little bit, and Elvira, some of the thoughts that you've generated from this information this month, from the book this month, how do you plan to use some of the information?
Well, one of the things, and I've actually learned this from my husband, is to ask questions. And it's not just asking questions, but the type of questions. And that goes into qualifying people. I know there may be people, and I've run into them, that want to be in the business, but to be honest with you, I don't feel that I would be the right match for them, for starters. And I don't feel that what they expect is something that I can provide, i.e. me do all the work. Communication is one of the critical keys in anything that we do. And part of that is not only sharing information and asking questions, but actually listening to their answer. Because that will direct us into the qualifying question or the next qualifying question to help us down line with what else we need to do. That is probably one area that I know I want to focus more on, and that will lead me closer to closing the call much better than I feel I do right now. So I would say that's one of the things. And you also, along the lines of communication, you were also talking about finding out what people like about something. For instance, Kevin Cutter talks about, so what did you like best about the demonstration you saw? And there's another question that kind of goes on the negative side, but it's, can you think of any reason why you would not want to be part of this program? And people can give us a whole lot of answers for that. But when we find out what their blocks are at that point in time, we can possibly either move them away or find solutions for them and take it from there.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. That is something that resonates with me, too. I would like to ask more questions. In fact, we have a distributor that came in as a Quick Start director last week, and I would say it as a result of asking a lot of questions. He might be listening on this call right now. Mike Miller is out of Nebraska originally, but currently in Virginia. We ask a lot of questions to make sure that this is a fit for them. This business is, of course, the result was that he came in as a Quick Start director. If he's listening, welcome aboard. I'd like to turn to page 78 before I go back to Tony. Page 78 talks about when you go, before you go on an appointment or just before you give a demonstration to set the stage, there are certain ways that we want to set the stage in our presenting our opportunity, because that's one area that I want to make sure that we don't miss in our conversation tonight, because the title of the book is Top 10 List for Prospecting, Presenting, and Marketing by Attraction. I like this one very well on page 78. It goes this way. Mr. and Mrs., whatever their name is, with your permission, this is a buffer question. With your permission, I will show my program to you. Finish, and accept it or reject it as you see fit. In other words, it's entirely up to you. That's fair. And when we ask that, when we present or set the stage that way, and they don't feel pressured to come into our business. And here's the one that I really like most on page 79. It says, sizing up your prospects. When you have been invited to meet your prospects in person or by phone for the purpose of explaining your products, services, or your business, you can tell how receptive they are by asking this question when you arrive. There it goes. Folks, how much time have you set aside for our discussion? If they tell you they only have a few minutes to examine your program, this is a red flag. Or when your prospect tells you they have a few minutes, hey, he says here, hey, gang, let's not waste our time either. It's not the right timing for them. You can either reschedule, or he said here, disqualify that prospect altogether at that time. But here is what he recommends. If they tell you that you can have all the time you need, you can be sure that you have a very qualified prospect and you're going to have fun giving your presentation. So in our presentation, this is something that I'm going to apply in my business, setting the stage, asking again the right question, how much time do you have? If they tell me that they have all the time that I want, that is a good sign. They say it's just a couple of minutes, that is not a good sign at all.
Question for you, Joshua. Even though they say they've got, you know, they're open and things of that nature, in those types of presentations, when do you think would be, or what time frame do you think would be a reasonable time frame to sit with them?
Excellent. Good point. Right on the next page, on page 79 at the bottom and up to page 80, for those on the listening line only, here's what is recommended. It says, only take 30 minutes. Whenever you have a little difficulty getting an appointment, this language will almost always get you in the door. Mr. Prospect, if I'm with you more than 30 minutes, it's because you've asked me to stay. And it says here, if your presentation takes more than 30 minutes, adjust the time accordingly. So let's say, for instance, our presentation, if we ad-lib to what we have currently in our presentation, it may take up to about 45 minutes. And, folks, we don't want to take 45 minutes just to go through the presentation. We want to save the best part of our presentation, prospect, asking questions, listening to their answers, and then answering them accordingly. We have been presenting the DWG venture through the booklet for about 20, 25 minutes tops, and then we go and ask the right questions. So to answer your question, Elvira, Mr. Johnson here recommends there are 30 minutes to do the presentation, and of course, you can adjust it. You can do it less. I'm not one that would like to spend about 3-4 hours presenting to one person, because it will go into too much information at one time. Now, I'd like to kind of open this up for Ann Burridge or Tony Stafford. What do you agree with that point, or what has worked for both of you in your presentation in addition to what we read in this book?
I'd like to respond to that.
Great. Go ahead.
I think that we need to watch how much time we spend. Always have a second appointment. But if we take too long on the first appointment, we will not get a second appointment or a second chance to show anything more. We need to adjust what we say, what we do, to make sure we're getting the main points across, and then, you know, seeing if there's anything else they would like to know on the first interview. We can't sell them on the first interview. If we take too much time, we'll never get back in the house to tell them anymore. We need to keep it short enough that they get interested, they want to try the products, and then we can go back and maybe close the deal a second time. If you take too long, and I'm going back to when I first joined the company over 6.5 years ago, I went with someone who was my upline at that time, and we spent 3 hours with somebody on the first call. And I said, I can't do this. I can't do this because I was brand new in the business. I cannot spend 3 hours with somebody showing them something that means too much to, you know, to me. So it's got to be short enough that you interest them, but also give them enough information to whet their appetite, get them interested. If you can't sign them the first time, leave yourself enough of an opening that you can go back and get more information to them and sign them on the second chance.
Great with you. Tony Stafford.
Yes, this is a very interesting topic. I learned this area in corporate business, and to some extent I learned it the hard way by making a bad presentation to high-level people. You know, when I had to make presentations specifically to, and this applies to anybody, but specifically when I was doing it to vice presidents and above, they had a very set time frame. And sometimes you would get into a presentation that was supposed to last 30 minutes, let's say, and they had a lot of interest, and they wanted to drag it out, and or you were overrunning, and to some extent it was a good topic. So you always, when I hit the time frame that I had agreed to, I would renegotiate it. It appears that we are having a great discussion here. We're going to overrun the 30 minutes that we had agreed to. Did you want to continue, or would you like to schedule something different? Okay. And many times I just say go ahead. But the fact of the matter is that you took the time, as Hilton Johnson says here, to get their agreement. They know that you're conscious about their time, which is very important to them. So I only thing else I would say about this is, you know, he says 30 minutes to make your presentation. What he doesn't say is that should include the time to sign up and create all the paperwork if they agree to do that. Because you don't get to extend it for doing that. So your 30 minutes includes the actual presentation and all the closing.
That's when you're right about that. Now, just kind of open that up a little bit for the benefit of those that will be listening to this call. Since we're recording this and we're going to have this available on a website that people can go back into and listen to this training. Really, this is a powerful training that is going on here. For those of us long-term and new people, I'd like to ask this question. What do you think, and I'm piggybacking on the experience of Ann Burridge with her upline going to a presentation that lasted 3 hours. If we keep our presentation short and sweet to the point, we're asking the right questions, we're not going on a tangent too much, what is the advantage of that for a new distributor that we're taking along with us to see how this business is presented? And I'm going to start with you, Elvira.
Well, for starters, the business needs to be duplicatable. And to be in a meeting for 3 hours, it sounds to me like there was a lot of information that was shared, and more than probably the prospect as well as the new distributor and could really ingest or digest. I have to admit that from time to time, I find myself getting so excited about the new prospect that sometimes I get diarrhea of the mouth, if you will. And I realize that, and I stop, and I watch the body language. I watch the physical aspects of the individual, and when their eyes glaze over, I know I've gone too far. So the benefits of having it short is those are the teachable moments, as I call them, the times where it's simple, it's basic, and people can duplicate that particular thing. As time goes on, they learn additional knowledge, and if the meeting should happen to take place longer, such as Tony suggested, you know, we're up at our 30 minutes, would you like to continue, or I can make another appointment or something of that nature, then at that point another bit of information can be shared. But just make sure that both the prospect understands, and that can be done behind the scenes, but that the prospect, the new distributor, understands behind the scenes, but the prospect understands and has a means or the capability and understanding by repeating the information and asking the questions that are necessary.
Thank you very much. Something that's going through my mind right now, part of a discussion I had with Tony Stafford and some of the leaders recently, is that in our business, you realize that the training starts from when we first do the presentation, either of the product or of the venture that we're sharing with our new prospect. Their training actually starts from that point. So if we take too long in presenting and getting to the point, we actually are duplicating the incorrect way of doing the business. They can become frustrated, and just imagine if your entire organization is spending 3 hours in presenting the opportunity or the venture. That is not what we're talking about here. We want to change that. It's a new paradigm here that we want to shift into. And let me come back to you.
I'd like to make sure that I'm going to get a chance to talk a little bit more in this area, but if you want to go ahead with Ann, go ahead.
Okay, I'll come back to you just a second. I wanted to go back to Ann about, again, why it's important that we keep our presentation short and sweet, to the point. Especially when we bring along with us a new person or a new a distributor that we're training.
I think it's very important because they need to know that what you're doing, they can do. It's not something that they can do. They look at what you're doing and they're saying, there's no way I can do this. I'm in the wrong business. How did I get into this? Why did I get into this? And that's not something we want to leave with a new distributor that we have already taken on board. And we certainly don't want to give that impression to somebody we're trying to bring on board. We need to let people know that we have a busy schedule, that we are important business people, we're successful, and our time's valuable, too. So we don't want to waste time doing things that draw us out into too long of a period of time. We don't want to say that I'm in a hurry and I can't stay and talk. That's the wrong impression to give. We certainly want to let them know that, you know, I have enough time to give you, you know, to do what we need to do today, but I don't want to spend all my afternoon with you. I do have another appointment to get to, and allow enough time between appointments that you can stay an extra half hour or an hour with somebody if you have to, but make two appointments in one day so you have something else to go on to do. That helps to show that you care about what you're doing, you care about your schedule, and you care about the people that you're dealing with, because you want them to know this is not something that you have to spend all day on one person. You can do different things in one day and get it accomplished.
Thank you so much, Ann. Tony, please.
Yes. What I have found when a presentation, let's call it, like we've been talking about, goes more than 30 minutes and close to an hour and a half, 2 hours, there's two things going on. First of all, usually they don't know how to close. So in lieu of being quiet and waiting for the prospect to really answer, they ramble. So they have a dysfunctional behavior of rambling. So the old saying, the first person to talk loses. So usually the person, if it's don't know how to close, they think they have to keep presenting. So they keep talking even though you're not going to get a close because you haven't asked the right qualifying questions. The second piece that causes us, so I believe that I've seen, to go on past 30 minutes with a presentation is that we switch from doing a presentation to doing training. And usually that's what we want to schedule for another appointment. So those are the two things that I find usually causes us to continue to go way past 30 minutes.
I like that. I really do. But in other words, keep the training for another time. Our goal and purpose of being there in front of that prospect is to find out, first of all, if there's a fit between them and our business venture, if this is for them, get them on board and schedule them into different opportunities for training that we have that we've scheduled within DWG. Excellent. Now, some that are listening to this call and for all of us, too, might be wondering, okay, what do you say when you're in front of a person, when you're presenting? I'm going to take everybody back to page 82 of our book here, the Hilton Johnson Collection. He talks about the motivation question, which is the number one key question you want to ask. Just a little curious, why did you decide to take a look at this program? That's a very good question to ask. And maybe I can get help from some of you here. Anne, are you on page 83?
Yes.
Could you read for us the permission question? It will be helpful.
It would be helpful to me if I could understand a little more about your situation. May I ask you some questions?
Excellent. And then the exploratory question is the next one. Tony, perhaps you can help us with that. It's right on page 84, you said.
Oh, that one. You said that the reason you decided to take a look at this program was because, and didn't you repeat what they said? It might be you wanted to have more time freedom. What did that mean? What did you mean by that?
What was the tip from Mr. Johnson, the coach here?
Listen for them to reveal and elaborate on their dissatisfaction regarding whatever the finance, time freedom, or whatever the job was. So that gives you an insight into their life and a little bit more reason why they would have a goal or have a desire. I mean, he's trying to find the desire. We've heard this talked about a number of times. If you don't have a desire, you're not going to go anywhere in this business or anything. If desire is an important ingredient of achieving anything. So he's trying to discover the desire for them to look at an opportunity.
Joshua?
Yes.
Let me interject. When I hear this whole thing and question after question, trying to get down to what I would call the heart of the matter, it's like an onion. You know, it's got many different layers to it, and every question we ask the person will remove that layer. You know, what is it about this? What is it about that? Can you explain a little bit more to me so we can better understand them? And for that matter, what we're doing is we're actually forming a relationship with them.
I like that. That's a good analogy.
And it can, you know, potentially form into a partnership. It may just turn out to be a friendship over time, but not a partnership in business. But that's really what we're doing. We're separating or peeling away the, even though onions make you cry, man, we're peeling away those layers that are coming in between the heart of the matter and what you're really trying to find out.
I tell you, folks, this is high-level stuff we're really reviewing here. This is high-level network marketing. This is what really brings people into the business and keep them here for a long time to come. Isn't that what we want?
Absolutely.
We want people that are going to come in the business and stay here for the long haul, not come here just for a few months, just for a few weeks, and they're gone. And when we really care about people, about the kind of questions that we ask and listen very carefully, really we can get to the
hearts of our distributors. I noticed this one of the questions, and we'll wrap up this section. It says, folks, if I can demonstrate to you that my company's business venture will solve all of the issues you have expressed to me today, are you ready to make a serious commitment and get started? What a nice way to transition into personally into the business. So these are the kind of questions we really want to ask. And some of the other topics that were touched on, it's worth mentioning a little bit about warm calls. A lot of us have read out in this business that you can do a great deal of business within your warm market. Calls are very difficult. But, of course, we have a product line here that within 30 seconds or less, you can turn a cold market into a warm market. But don't forget this one that is recommended on page 99 about the third-party calls. Notice what it says here. A friend of mine, Frank Kiefer, earns the kind of income most network marketers only dream about. He does this by being selective with whom he calls and by using a third-party approach. This approach will work best for you with people with whom you are already acquainted. So here are some questions that you might ask using a third-person approach. Tell your potential prospect that you are sure he or she will not be interested in a new business proposal that you have, but you'd like to know who he or she knows that, one, might be concerned about downsizing or layoffs, is not spending enough time with her family, it's not being paid what he's worth, like to have a home-based business, would like to have more time and financial freedom. And he said, I think you get the idea. 9 times out of 10, your third-party approach will create a situation whereby your warm marketer, the person that you know, may raise their hand and said, what about me? And many of us have experienced that in our approaches in the business. And one final thought I'd like to share with all of us here, that's you in this situation, on page 106, Hilton Johnson talks about recruiting accomplished network marketers. And I know I've shied away from this, but here's the recommendation. It said most network marketers dropped out of the business within their first 3 months. The reason they do this is because of poor upline support. That's the problem to solve. So what do you do? You want to convince the person that you are talking to, a prospect, and who is already working a successful network marketing business in another company, that you are going to be a good leader for them. You'll be there to help them. You'll be there to train and support them. And, of course, you have to back up what you say with your action. So ask people that are in the industry, it's okay. That's what I'm learning from this book here. It's okay to prospect people who are already working at another company, but he cautioned us not to badmouth their present company's compensation plan, their products, their services, the management, or anything else about that company. Compliment it and then move on to why you want to have them work with you on your team. And it's an important question to ask, are you completely happy where you are now? If they are not, you know you have a good prospect in your hand. Folks, we have just 5 minutes to wrap up this call. This has been an exciting call so far. Any thought from any one of my panels here tonight? Additional thoughts?
Well, this is Tony. I just going to say the area that I'm going to probably reread more often was, of course, the very first chapter, the worst thing that you can say. Qualifying questions, one-on-one presentations, that's where we learned about getting yeses. And we've heard that from Kevin. We've heard it from a number of trainers. This brought it home and solidified some of the previous trainings. Many times that happens when we read and learn. We solidify stuff that we've heard before. Prospecting, and of course, prospecting for network marketing. Those are chapters that I'm going to focus on more than some of the other ones when I reread.
Thank you very much. And anybody else?
Go on to page 109. I think that's something that we all need to kind of focus on. the top 10 ways to attract people to you. If you don't have a strong personal foundation, if you don't have something that people want to be a part of your circle of friends, you're not going to get anyone to be of help to you. And your strong personal foundation can be very helpful to you. You also need to look at how you attract other people by focusing on them, not yourself when you're talking to people. Focus on the questions they have, the things that are of interest to them, their children, their careers, their jobs, their way of life. Listen to what they have to say, because sometimes just in listening we can find the key that we're looking for to find somebody that's going to be important to us. And use the specialized knowledge that we have by the products that we've been using and so forth to then reach out to those people and develop them into the kind of distributor we want.
Thank you so much, and that really stood out for me on page 1 about listen, listen, listen. Elvira, please, some thoughts?
Yes, I'm going to elaborate on what Ann had mentioned. And it's actually from a previous, a story about the pilot, or actually a guy who went cross-country, a psychiatrist, I guess it was, or psychologist. And he went cross-country and just flew on the plane and started a conversation up with a passenger and just asked questions and asked questions and asked questions. Well, by the end of the trip, someone at the other end actually was talking to this passenger to try to find out what kind of experience he had with the psychiatrist or the person who was sitting next to him. And ironically enough, although he did not know his name, this passenger stated something to the effect that that was the most interesting conversation that he had ever had with a person that was really interesting. However, there was nothing revealed by the psychiatrist or psychologist, whoever it was, except for the questions that he asked of the individual. And I think, well, what I'd like to do is put a challenge or just a bug in everyone's ear is just, when you see someone on the street, just ask questions. Give them a compliment. And see what kind of response you get. See if you get a smile. See if their body language changes and things along those lines. So I like what Ann said, and that's one of the things that I've enjoyed doing and seeing over time.
Thank you so much, Elvira. In fact, I did a training July 10th. That was my focus about asking the right questions, and it has worked for me. Especially, I am grateful and thankful for the Book of the Month Club. It has helped me to become very, very skillful in doing my business. And I would just want to wrap this call off, since we have just about 45 seconds left here. For those that are listening who have not joined the Book of the Month Club, you can voice come me at, here's my voice come number, 215-451-9267. Again, it's 215-451-9267. Or you can email me at bestshine@hotmail.com. That is B-E-S-T, shine, one word, at hotmail.com. And join our autoship program. The books will be shipped to you automatically every month on the 20th of the month if you join the autoship for our program. And when you do, you will be getting the books at 20% discount. By the way, if you join the Book of the Month Club as well, you'll get books from Dream Builders at 20% discount. The website is www.dwgtools.com, or you can call them at 1-800-485-0333. That's for Dream Builders. The book for next month, we announced it at the beginning of the call. It is Parable of the Pipeline by Brooke Hedges. Go to Dream Builders website and check that book out. By the way, the book for next month will be posted in a couple of days. They will allow the book for this month, the Hilton Johnson book, to stay on the site, on the website for a few more days before we change it to the book for next month. So we look forward to our next call in August, and I have in my calendar here, our next call is going to be 8 p.m. August the 22nd. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, August 22nd. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Albert.
You're welcome.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Ann, for being on the call tonight. It was a great one.
Thank you, Josh, for all your help.
Yes, Josh.
Thanks for everything, Josh.
My pleasure. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Tony.
Great.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
got the recording started.
Okay. I'm waiting for our two other panel members, and
well, you might just be waiting for one, Joshua. This is Elvira.
Hi, Elvira. How are you?
Doing well.
Great.
Hi, Elvira. It's Tony.
Hey, Tony. Good to hear from you, hear your voice and everything.
Sure. If you could, send me the last recording. I'm in process of doing some incredible stuff with the recordings. I'm getting caught up with my own stuff, and I'm ready to get caught up with the stuff for the Book of the Month.
Okay, yeah, Joshua and I were talking about that the other day. I took a couple trips out of the area to take my dad to Newark from Montana. And so I'm a little behind on a few things as well, but that is on my agenda to getting to you. So.
Super.
Okay?
That's great.
How are the grandbabies?
Oh, they're doing good. They're doing good. They're incredibly...
Active
talking. Oh man, the growth of kids daily is just unbelievable, and you forget what it was when you raised your own kids sometimes.
Well, I can't say I've raised my own kids, but my nieces and nephews certainly are a little bigger than I recall. So yeah, well, good. Are we waiting for Ann Baldridge then?
Yes, we are.
Ann is here.
Oh, Ann, how are you?
Not doing too well today, so I may be leaving and come back on the call.
Okay. We'll just work with the situation that you have there. We hope you feel better.
Thank you. I've had to work with so many shows, and I think I just caught a little bug or something.
Okay.
Hi, Ann. It's Tony.
Tony.
I haven't talked to you for a while.
And Elvira's on the phone.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
all right.
Tony is going to be recording this call. Tony, thank you again being our recording engineer. And we can get started right about now.